Well, one of the theories was that it was the Jesuits at the end of the 16th and the beginning of the 17th century, in the time of Queen Elizabeth, when Catholicism was proscribed. And at that time, Christmas was celebrated over 12 days, and you gave gifts on each of the 12 days, not just on one of the days. But there was a problem at that time because you could have lost your life by attending Mass. It was called lèse majesté. If you did go to Mass, it was an insult to the Queen. So you couldn't go. So the Jesuits were dealing with these people who were called recusants. They meant they refused to take the oath of supremacy and they wouldn't go. So they wanted to attend Mass, but they had to go about it in a very secretive, devious way. And if you're putting out this message, you had to find a way of using coded language. And the 12 days of Christmas were an innocent sort of a way of doing it. And there's the different things. The first day is the partridge in the pear tree.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree.
That was seen as the Eucharist, and my true love was God himself, and then the different gifts of each of the days.
Well, so let's take some of the days. What might they have represented? Why would the partridge be Christ, for example?
Well, one of the images that Jesus used to describe himself was how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens, when he was weeping over Jerusalem. Now, we often think of hens as the Rhode Island Reds, the lowest domestic variety we have. But that partridge is a more elegant hen. And one of the parts of the mythology was that she wounded herself as a decoy to save her chicks. And notice that there, in the songs, there are four or five of them are birds, and four or five are persons. The only one that is not either a bird or a person is the five gold rings, which were meant to symbolize the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible, where man fell from grace, and ultimately the partridge would be the one that would bring him back. Now, it may seem far-fetched, but that was the sort of language, and people were very sensitive to symbols in those days because there was no way of getting messages, and nobody would say anything straight out because they had to know who they were talking to.
Well, yeah, and you say it's far-fetched, but it is interesting, like, that it's a weird song otherwise. Gobnad o' Lunacy, for example, that's what he was so funny about this, because he took it literally, yeah. And he's saying, the ducks are running mad, the geese are all over the place. Yeah. And that was taking it literally. So it is valid to look for a symbolic interpretation, because why would people make something like that up from nowhere?
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me eight maids a-milk and seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five
golden rings,
four calling
three
rings,
French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
I agree with that. And then you have the calling birds. I think it's the four calling birds. That was the four evangelists and the gospels. And then the 12 drummers drumming. And that was the last of them.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love sent to me 12 drummers drumming.
And it was to remind you of the creed. There are 12 articles in the creed. And it was always, that would be another one, or the three virtues. They were three French hens. That was faith, hope, and charity.
Yeah, because even French hens, you have faith and you have hope. F and H.
We haven't got the C there.
Yeah. But well, let's, even for the fun of it, but it is interesting. Let's go through some of the other ones then. What might they have meant? What about the seven swans a-swimming?
Well, the seven swans, that would be the gifts of the Holy Spirit that all of us have received at confirmation: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. And those were the seven gifts. And even if the people, perhaps even the Anglicans at that time, they would have accepted most of these. So they weren't actually problems in themselves, the doctrine. But it meant there had to be a deeper reason why they were referring to these things. I mean, with your imagination, you could see how they could, maybe if they repeated the third day, the third day, the third day, that means Mass will be on the third day. And there might be another way. I'm only fantasizing now. In England, there are pubs called the Fox and Geese, or there could be these sort of allusions. And when you know how clever people had to be during the Second World War with their codes to defend themselves, it's an interesting idea, anyway.
And yet, I think probably to take in the context which you laid out at the beginning, which is that people couldn't celebrate openly, they couldn't go to Mass. Obviously, if you've no need for something, then there's not a problem. But in times of suppression and oppression, things do tend to go underground.
And even it could have been even more of a difficulty in Scotland, where the reformers there were fairly consistent. They rejected the notion of Christmas, Christ's Mass, so moved it to New Year's Day, and they didn't want to be spoil sports, so they created a whole world of fun in those days. I'm glad today that Christmas is not a bone of contention among people. It's a thing that brings everybody together.
And a partridge.